Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the May Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. Brand new episode. It is May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo. Hey!
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. Hey! Yesterday was May 4th.
Yeah, May the 4th.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah, Star Wars Day.
Did you watch any Star Wars films yesterday?
I have not. I'm just going through my timeline. It'll be a while before I get to...
Yeah, you haven't seen any of the films? Yesterday, did you watch any Rebels?
No, I watched the Clone Wars.
Clone Wars?
Okay. Yeah.
I saw, what did I watch? Return of the Jedi. My son's favorite Star Wars movie, so I watched Return of the Jedi. So that was my Star Wars day. We were planning to make some drinks. We were thinking of making some Star Wars-inspired drinks. I saw some recipes online. I think I posted them on my Instagram and all that, but no, we didn't end up doing that. And then... Yeah, Cinco de Mayo today. We just had a beer. We just had some Red Horse beer.
Yeah.
Filipino beer.
It's not Mexican, but, you know, Filipino. Yeah, they're dark, dark Asians. Yeah, I mean, they share a Mexican name, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And close not enough.
And also, we have a guest on this week. Wei Ting from
Post Wrestling
is on the show. Our great friend, our good friend. It's great to talk to him again, all the way up in Toronto, Canada. A lot of things have changed for him recently. Got caught up in everything. Talked a little bit about pro wrestling. Talked a little about MMA. Talked a little about the coronavirus in Canada and how that stuff's going. So you guys will catch that in just a short while. Other than that, everything's good.
Great, man. Yeah. I can't complain. Yeah. Swell.
What have you been watching on streaming, or what have you been up to over the weekend?
I've been watching Tiger King, which is insane.
I haven't caught it yet. I've heard nothing but crazy things about it.
Yeah, he's like a pro wrestling character. He's like, because it's crazy. It's insane. Yeah, you got to watch it. Like, you won't, like, I can't even tell you the shit that comes on that show. And when you watch it, you'll be scratching your head.
I've heard a lot of things. I've heard there's a lot of, he's got a lot of boyfriends and husbands. Yeah. And I hear people getting their arms bitten off. And one guy has his missing legs. And I hear Tiger getting killed. Yeah, he's got no fear. I hear him being like almost like a Ringling Brothers type of person, where he's just putting on shows and doing different magic trick shows.
Yeah, he looks like he'd be related to Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I also hear that his singing career is not necessarily. He's almost like a I shared this information for you is that he has someone like produce and shoot the videos for him. And then it's not actually his real voice.
Crazy.
He has someone else sing for him.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. But
everybody thought he had an angelic voice, and it's not really his.
Yeah, it's like
spoiler.
I can't even put in words how crazy this guy is. Yeah. But so I've been watching that. Of course, Vanderpump Rules is my number one favorite TV show right now. I'm on season 7. There's 8 seasons, so I'm close to the current season.
Yeah.
Before the 90 Days, which is a spinoff of 90 Day Fiancé that me and my girlfriend watch.
Yeah.
Awesome show. There's a guy that's he's about 50 something.
Now there's a 90 Day Fiancé that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
And it's the guy, I don't know his name.
No neck.
He's got no neck.
Yeah, that guy.
He's got the pretty Filipino wife.
Yeah.
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 He's from San Diego.
Okay.
And he just continuously fucks it up for himself.
I saw a clip where he puts mayonnaise in his hair.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But okay, so this guy comes. He's like 50 something. He's only like 20 something.
Yeah,
I think he's older than her dad.
He's older than her dad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he wanted a banger, right? But
would that be awkward if you were older than your girl's dad?
I mean, I'm only fucking 10 years younger than him, but. Yeah.
Yeah. Then your current girlfriend's dad.
Yeah. Come here. Yeah. So that's kind of weird, but
yeah.
At least I'm not like older than him.
Yeah. But or like the same age.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, that'd
be fucking weird.
That'd be kind of weird.
But so he wants her to get an STD test for her, so she gets kind of offended, which is kind of understandable. His second fuck up, like he said, he bought her a razor and told her, "Your legs are like mine, my legs. So can you shave your legs so we can like have sex?"
Well, I hear a thing that in the Philippines, like grooming, like that, like typical stuff that we see here, is not necessarily like an important thing.
Yeah. Maybe especially where she's from, she's from a very poor village. Yeah,
like where you got some, where you get, especially in the poor areas, it's not a big thing to like shave your legs and shave in like certain areas and stuff like that.
And then he tells her, he buys her a Listerine and a toothbrush, and he's in there, he has bad breath.
That she's got bad breath?
Yeah.
And so, what does she say?
She gets offended and starts crying. Yeah. He's had an ulcer problem.
Is she's trying to get a green card? Is that the whole thing?
No, I think she really loves him.
Really?
Yeah. Like, but she seems sincere.
She's not a citizen, so
I think obviously, like, a lot of people see
Does it say how they met?
Well, he hit her up on a Filipino dating website.
Is there a Filipino dating website? What's the name of it? You know?
I don't know. I know.
I wish if I was single right now, I'd be looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But then, like, that's not the worst character in the series. There's a guy, I don't know, he lives somewhere in the States, who is dating for 7 years online to some person that lives in the Ukraine. Hot. This chick is hot.
Yeah.
And he went 4 times already to Ukraine to try to meet her up, and all 4 times, she stood him up.
Really?
So he swore that this time would be different. He said, "Okay, I'll be at the train station." He goes to Ukraine, nowhere to be found. So he gets fucking, he gets sad, and he goes online, and all she has to do is, "Hi, baby," and he's sucked her back in.
Sucked back in.
And she goes, "Okay, I'm here in your hometown," and she goes, "Okay, we can meet at a restaurant."
Yeah.
"Okay, I'll be there at 2:00. He brings fucking roses. He orders the more expensive champagne for the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's no show.
Damn.
And he leaves the flowers, and the owner of the restaurant says, "Well, this happens all the time. You see American men come in with flowers, and they leave by themselves."
They get conned.
Yeah, but all like the time. For what?
They don't get anything out of it.
Well, because like these girls get sent money by the Americans.
Oh.
She's been sending her money for like the past 7 years.
Oh, and then he comes over, like, "Yeah, come over and meet me," and then she's just a no show. Yeah.
And he swears that he loves her, and then he finds out her address somehow, but I guess where she lives is like in a bad side of town.
Yeah.
So he drives fucking 7 hours with the camera crew behind him looking for this one address. He gets there and knocks on the door, and it was an old man that answered the door. And so,
did you ever, out of any time in your life, being on the internet, Facebook, MySpace, did you ever hit up anybody like in another country?
Another country.
Did you ever talk to anybody that was in another country?
Like in the UK, but it wasn't anything serious. It wasn't it didn't get to that point.
How did that come about? Like,
it was MySpace. It was I don't remember how the layout was, but there was a layout where you can add friends.
Yeah.
And there were some where they're from out of country, but it couldn't even get to a friendship party. It was just like a few messages, and that's it.
Yeah.
But there was a girl that lived in Michigan.
Another country or even another state.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you the story then.
Yeah.
Well, this girl, when I met her, she was 15.
Mm-hmm. And you were 30.
I was in my 20s. Yeah, I was in my 20s. And then, it didn't go nowhere. But then, like, for whatever reason, she just stuck to my head. Like, she was, like, from her dad was from India, like, the country India.
Yeah.
And she was, like, Jewish. So she was, like, Middle Eastern and Jewish. And I hit her, I think, when she was 18, we reconnected. She gave me her number, and she never changed her number. She had the same number, and I called her, and she recognized her voice. She said that my voice is really d- distinct and she recognized it right away. So they were talking, and things got kind of serious where we had feelings for each other, but I knew that she was never going to happen because she lives in Michigan, I live in LA. But she got a job in LA that brought her to LA, and I met her for the first time when she was 19. I was like 30.
okay.
And she was 19, right?
She was close.
She was 19, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I met her for the first time, and we had good sex that first time, and I ended up living with her because it was like her job was like part of the core.
Yeah.
It was called City Year, where they were like homework helpers inside like schools.
Yeah.
But these people apply from around the nation. So she had two roommates. One was from Michigan and the other girl was from Utah.
Yeah.
And I was living there because they felt comfortable with me being there. So they wanted a male in their house. So I ended up, I was 30 years old living with three 19-year-old chicks. And I wasn't even paying rent. She ended up being my girlfriend for like 2-3 years.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we met. We met shortly after that. Yeah. After that whole. Yeah.
But that's my only online relationship that came to fruition.
Hey, well, that's a successful one.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to this one girl. I think it was MySpace. Pretty sure it was MySpace. And we were messaging back and forth. We even got to the point where we're going to like start like video chatting. So I had like a camera set up and everything. And then I went and bought one. I actually still have it somewhere in the garage. And this is a long time ago. This is probably like, I was probably like in my early 20s, 35 now, or about to be 35. And then she was from Brazil.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, she's a Brazilian chick.
That's a good country to pick one from. Yeah.
And this was on like, I think it was MySpace. And we were chatting back and forth, and it was like, it was one of those things where like, you know, suggestions get popped up or you start browsing, you know, you start browsing for hot chicks and seeing them around. And you're at that age, you're like, you know, message one and be like, hey, my name's Josh. So fun. What's your name?
Yeah, you know, get a response. Yeah.
You'll get a response, you know, so random people, and you start talking real quick. So we're chatting for a few months, just chatting back and forth. And I the whole time I'm like, this could be a fucking 50-year-old man, you know what I mean? Yeah. But who knows? I mean, the profile looks legit. You got some real pictures on there. I see posts every now and then.
Do you remember?
No. So I think when we attempted to do the whole video chat, and it didn't go through, or like we didn't sync up our turn, or like when we were gonna do it and how we're gonna do it. I just kind of like ended up dropping it and kind of just forgetting about it, really.
Mm.
But we did have a good, you know, almost 6 months conversation.
Damn.
You know, from what I remember, and it was like a pretty regular thing. So, and
did I thought you think that, about
her
still? Huh? So think about her.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I think of when I do think of it, and which is not often, is probably maybe the second time in the last, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years that I've thought about it. But like, I just think of, I wonder if she was actually real or not.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, this is all pre-Tinder, pre-editing.
I don't remember the name either. I don't remember her name.
This is before the internet. Like, this is like the original dating site.
Early social media, MySpace era, before Twitter, before YouTube, really. You know, really took off and all that stuff. So, yeah, it just made me think. I'm like, hey, did you ever?
Yeah,
and at least it worked out for you, where you actually got
and
a like, girlfriend out of it for
and,
a couple years.
And I got to check off a thing for my bucket list, like bang a Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
she was a mix, right? Like Indian,
she was Jewish and Indian.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only one that I need to conquer is black, but I don't know what's gonna happen.
Not at this point. I don't know. Unless some of you make some changes. You never dated a black girl. I've never dated a black girl.
I banged a dark Asian.
That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. No, I'm saying, but like, it's an Asian family.
It's an Asian family. Okay, Asian girl. Yes.
So that made me feel kind of good about myself because I got an Asian one out of the way. She had really pointed
nipples. I dated a...
Oh yeah. We both did.
For a while, you know what I mean? But, Cambodian.
Yeah, Cambodian. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's good times. But let's get to some fights.
Yeah. We said shit up, man.
UFC 249 is this weekend. what can you say, man? It's actually going to happen. Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson. We could break down the card right now. Not much in terms of news. I don't really want to cover too much of the stuff. Ever like we cover a little, go on one topic away in terms of the, like what he thought about the, you know, the events going on. Mm. You know, them putting on events, and I forgot what else we bring up with him. We brought up one other thing,
Fight Island, and
yeah. Fight Island,
yeah, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. You know, the talk of unions during this whole time.
Yeah.
But they have been, there's been a lot of videos. There's even, I think, Tony Ferguson put up a video of him getting swabbed for COVID. It's on video. It's on his Instagram or Facebook or wow. I don't know what right now. And then there's a couple lot of matchups, you know, people getting matched up on the 13th card, on the 16th card. You have Amanda Nunes, and I believe Felicia Spencer has moved to June or July.
Mm. Yeah.
June 6th. And that's about it. There's not a whole lot of news out there aside from the fights this weekend, which is actually taking place. It's actually going to happen down in Florida. Well, let's break down the card right now and get right to it and give you our picks.
Tony Ferguson is a nightmare for anybody. That guy's terrifying.
Ferguson, the longest winning streak in the UFC lightweight division, 12 straight fights.
He's a brilliant madman, one of the most creative guys to ever step into the octagon to win.
The UFC's human highlight film is Justin Gaethje, the most entertaining fighter on this roster.
This guy is a knockout artist, won bonuses in each of his UFC appearances.
Holy smoke, Justin Gaethje has some power.
Have you ever seen anything like Justin Gaethje?
This is UFC 249, Ferguson versus Gaethje. The V-Star Arena, Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida, completely empty. Only people, you know, necessary personnel allowed in. The main card, Yurgandis DeCastro versus Greg Hardy. Calvin Kattar, Jeremy Stephens, Francis Ngannou, Rozenstruik, Henry Cejudo, Dominic Cruz, and Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. That's your main card. Donald Cerrone, Anthony Pettis, Oleg Verdum, Jacare Souza, Vicente Luque versus Nico Price, Bryce Mitchell, Charles Rosa, and Sam Alvey versus Ryan Spann. That's your card from top to bottom right there.
Jesus Christ.
Great. On pay-per-view, going for what, $60-ish dollars?
I don't agree with that, but whatever.
Whatever. We had that conversation already in terms of like whether it should be free or not. On the undercard, let's start from the prelims and go up. Uriah Hall versus Jacare Souza. This is Jacare back down to middleweight. Who do you have for this one?
Jacare.
I'm going to go with Jacare too.
Yeah.
I think he's back down to where he should be. Mm-hmm. He looked, his gas tank wasn't the same at light heavyweight. No. Back down to.
He's so dangerous.
Still dangerous guy. Carla Esparza versus Michelle Watterson.
Watterson.
I'm gonna go. I'm on the fence on this one. I'm gonna go with Esparza. I think her wrestling might be able to pull it out and kind of. Michelle did not impress me against Ioana.
Yeah. It was tentative.
Super tentative, and almost like why did she even show up? And if she brings that kind of performance in this one, I think Carla Esparza is just gonna have her way with her in terms of the wrestling department. Oleg versus Verdum.
Verdum.
I'm going to go with Verdum. This is a return of Verdum after two year span layoff for USADA positive test. But yeah, Donald Cerrone versus Anthony Pettis. This is the rematch from 6-7 years ago.
I'm going to go with Pettis. Pettis, yeah.
You're going to go with Pettis? Yeah. I think Pettis too. I think he's been on a better streak than Cerrone has, even though Cerrone had a really good year and had a couple of losses recently. Yeah. It's all pointing to Anthony Pettis having a better turnout. DeCastro versus Greg Hardy.
I'm going to go Hardy.
I'm going to go with Hardy too. Yeah. Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens.
Kattar.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to probably go Kattar too. I think we're on that. We're kind of been pretty similar, at least for the most part. Francis Ngannou versus Rozenstruik.
Ngannou.
I'm going to go with Ngannou too. I don't think Rozenstruik is that dangerous in terms of like against a guy like Francis. I don't think he has I think he's got the power, but in his last fight, he doesn't have that. He just seems a little green.
Yeah, and I think Ngannou going fighting or losing against Stipe, I think really helps him a lot.
Yeah, I think Ngannou has gotten over that hump.
Yeah.
You know? Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. This is going to be a tricky one. I think the odds are in Cejudo's favor in this one. Everybody's kind of going towards Cejudo.
I'm
going to
go Cejudo.
Yeah, Dominic's been out 3 years almost. He takes his.
I think Cejudo's a more well-rounded fighter too.
It's going to be an interesting fight. If Dominic can have a performance like he is capable of, I don't know how old he is at the moment now. He's probably in his mid-30s now. It's going to be, if he can prove us wrong again, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje.
I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje.
You're going to go with Justin Gaethje? Yeah. Okay. Damn, dude.
Oh, that's hard. Just because, like,
winner fights Khabib.
I think he'll be a tough matchup for both Gage, for both Khabib and Ferguson. I think
people are overlooking him.
Yeah, I think Ferguson doesn't. We all know he doesn't cover up and he gets hit a lot. I think Gaethje is his wrestling is really underrated. I think he's a great wrestler, but he just hides it because he just strikes a lot.
Yeah,
and I think that he could take a punch better than Ferguson. I think he can. I think when Ferguson gets hit, I think Gaethje's not gonna let him out of the game. I mean, like, let him breathe. I think he's gonna continue to punish him.
Yeah.
And I think, although when Ferguson is on his back, he delivers offense with elbows from his back. But I think Gaethje on top is gonna be a problem for Ferguson.
Yeah. I think he has the potential to upset. I did too.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Ferguson beats him either.
Yeah, I think Ferguson's a favorite, but I think people are overlooking Justin Gaethje in this fight, thinking that Tony's going to move on and fight Khabib.
And I think Gaethje can beat Khabib too.
Yeah, I think he has a good shot. You know, I know he hasn't had the success that they both have had.
Yeah,
but I think he's dangerous, and I think people are overlooking him.
Yeah, he's a different fighter. Like, he's not Rock'em Sock'em anymore. He's a different guy.
He's kind of learned a
dangerous
little
fighter. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's our picks. I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje too. I'm going to go with him for the upset. If you were to have $100, let's say $100, and you had to put your money on three fighters, split it up evenly, I could do the math.
Any three
on the main card. You could do winners, losers, if you had $100.
I'll do Ngannou.
Okay. You had to do a parlay, right? A three-way parlay.
Yeah. Can you read me the main card again?
Yeah. Ferguson, Gaethje, Cejudo, Cruz, Ngannou, Rozenstruik, Calvin Kattar, Jeremy Stephens, Castro, Greg Hardy.
Okay, it'll be Hardy, Ngannou, and Kattar.
And Kattar?
Kattar.
Yeah. To put your money on, yeah. that will win?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. If I would put DeCastro, I would put Stephens, and I'd put Gaethje. If I was a bet on upsets, you know what I mean.
Upsets.
No, it could be upsets. You could be guarantees. Let's say upsets for your upsets. Who would you put for your upsets? If that's a different
Gaethje, Cejudo, and Stevens.
Gaethje, Cejudo, Stevens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But Cejudo wouldn't be an upset, really, right?
Well, okay, he's
but if you threw him in there, he would have to win, and the other two would have to win to maximize your money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's. Before we go, we're gonna get to the interview. So here's our friend from Post Wrestling, Wei Ting.
All right. Up next on our show, we have PostWrestling.com's Mr. Wei Ting. He has a weekly shows on audio and video, and you can join his Patreon for $6. No, $5 a month, or is it minimum?
Six.
$6 a month.
We're a high class. Yes.
Yeah. $6. Postwrestling.com/Patreon and join. It's really good content. So, Wei, thanks for coming on again. We really appreciate it. And how have things been, man, since all the madness of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, well, first, it's nice to talk to you guys. I mean, I feel like it's been like quite a while since I got to see you both last time. I believe it was actually in LA.
Was it? Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Long Beach. Last time we spoke.
Yeah, last time we spoke.
So, So it's nice to catch up with you guys. Yeah. I've been dealing with it over here in Toronto. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, similar to many parts of the world, but I feel like we've been pretty much like shut down for like 7 weeks. And I've really just kind of kept to myself for quite a while, doing my regular routine of keeping, for some reason, like I would say most of my daily routine is somewhat uninterrupted because wrestling has still been going on,
yeah,
like consistently throughout. So I still do my shows with John. In fact, like in some ways we're busier than before,
yeah,
because the news certainly hasn't slowed down. And I'm also like, driving my fiance to and from work. She works in healthcare as well. Just like you, James. Yeah, and so, yeah, you know, every morning I, you know, just to kind of schedule, fit her routine with my own. And as you know, I'm very much like a night owl. It's, and she's very much like an 8 to 4 yeah, type of person. So it's made things actually a bit busier for me.
Yeah. Wow. And you were mentioning that you haven't seen actually face to face John in like 5 weeks at least.
Yeah. Or however yeah, long since, you know, this whole thing's seven like weeks, occurred. Yeah. I mean, since I would say like for the better part of what, since like March 10th, March.
Yeah. Hey, my birthday.
Something like that.
Well, yeah, me, you and yeah, John share birthdays very really close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, like, it was probably the better part of, like, 7 weeks now yeah, that I haven't, John and I haven't really done a show, like, in person together, so. But Skype's, like, worked out. In fact, like, it's been a great excuse to try to figure out more video stuff, yeah, you know?
Seriously.
And how is it, like, over there in terms of the lockdown? Are you guys, is it kind of like us, where it's, like, restaurants are only takeout? Banks yep, and hospitals are basically the only other thing, grocery stores, and that's about it. Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah, pretty much. I would say all the restaurants are well, most of them, if they choose to, still allow takeout. There's certainly a list of essential services, and it's actually quite a pretty long list. So
okay.
But like, you know, most actual stores are closed outside of grocery stores. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, you know, certain services, like, you know, you can't get a haircut.
Yeah.
You know, even you can't even go to the dentist unless it's an emergency, I believe.
Yeah.
So I would say it's very probably quite similar to what you guys have.
Yeah.
And yeah, has it been like difficult to adjust to all this, or were you always like a homebody?
I'm actually like quite amazed at how well I've adjusted, to yeah, be honest with you. Yeah. Like, it's, I really feel like I'm somebody who like naturally likes to stay at home anyway.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of have to make an effort to go and like be social. So this is just kind of like, it's made life easier.
Yeah. Actually, in some yeah, ways.
But no, I've actually kind of like, it's hard for me to say like, I've enjoyed any part of this because there are people out there that are going through yeah, the worst. Like, yeah, everything, you know, right, financially, in terms of health. So I don't really want to be insensitive to those people.
Right.
But as far as my day-to-day for my adjusting, it's actually been totally fine.
Okay. And, you know, besides work, like, what other things have you been doing to keep yourself sane? Like, are you watching shows? Are you, like,
playing exercising? Music? Or are you...
Yeah. Trying to do a bit of everything, you know. Yeah. Like, the schedule keeps me kind of busy, but, like, I was really lucky in that when I moved into this place... one of my first things I wanted to do is just to build a home gym.
Yeah.
And so like, I got so lucky that I would say perhaps like 2-3 weeks before this whole thing shut down, like I managed to buy a squat rack and a bunch of weights and a barbell. Yes. So I've just been like, you know, really learning a lot about yeah, like, you know, lifting technique and just like devoting myself to that.
Damn. That's awesome, so, man.
Yeah. It's been fun. Like, yeah, and what, again, it's
have
like,
you been improving? Like, you're have you been like putting on more yeah, weight and
exactly, yeah, getting
buffer? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You just add on a bit more weight every single time.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nothing I to brag about yet. I'm still, you know, I'm still very much a novice, but it's like I'm so lucky that I got all yeah, that stuff in my basement before, because the moment all this stuff happened and the gym shut down,
yeah,
like everything's been sold out. And yeah, so I follow this Reddit about like home gyms.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing all these people like build their own squat racks out of like 2x4s and cement. And I'm like, shit,
that's
I'm
crazy. So glad I didn't yeah, you didn't have to do it. That. Yeah. And, yeah, do you see any physical improvements like in your body, or does it your fiance?
Are you gonna rip?
Certainly not ripped at all. I mean, I think I had to eat a whole lot, you know, really, to get ripped. And that's something that I have to focus on a little bit later. But, like, yeah, I'm certainly seeing, like, some improvement. You know, they call them newbie gains, right? Yeah. So, for me, it's not even about, like, getting bigger. I just want to, like, I just want to stay active. I want to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's cool, man, because, like, I don't want to, like, put a, like, spotlight on me, but, like, I've lost, like, 22 pounds, man.
Yeah.
In the past good, man. Both, 6 weeks.
He's been, he lost 22 pounds, 6 weeks. Yeah, almost, been watching his diet.
Yeah.
Dude, just eating, because he'll just eat sugar and carbs and cut all that out.
Yeah, like, I went from, like, 185 to, like, I'm, like, at 160 right now.
That's amazing, dude. And you just did that mainly from diet?
Yeah, just from dieting, yeah. Like, I bought a food scale. I'm, like weighing my food out. And I'm, like, watching what I'm logging in my calorie count. I'm doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
I completely took sugar out of my diet.
So carbs. The sugar was coming from you, like, eating out? Like, what exactly has the change?
Breads, donuts, you know, just stupid crap that I don't need. Yeah. And my A1C level was kind of high.
If you see him, that, like, his gut's almost gone. Like, it's just, like, he's...
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's slimmed down a lot.
Yeah. So it's
noticeable. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Josh?
I probably lost, like, 8 pounds, but I've been lifting a lot, too. So, I was kind of made for the, like, this quarantine thing, because I'm glad I have my son, because it makes it entertaining. It's like being home on a regular day. So I have that.
I wondered about that, you know, does it drive you crazy, or being kind of attached to the family? Because I've heard, like, from, you know, a friend of mine, actually, Marcus Vandenberg, who lives actually in LA, he's got a newborn as well. And he says, like, you know, like, when the baby's that young, you pretty much have to, like, be at home anyway. So, other people have said that
it's like a regular day off. It's like I'm just like, so it's not bad. It's like, it's entertaining. We go outside to play. He can walk around now, and he's like, just like watching movies. So it's like a regular day. And then, as far as a home gym, I had a home gym already. I have a couple of cardio machines. I had weights and all that. So I was already doing this whole quarantine stuff already. And now with the son, I don't really go out that much anyway. So it's like a normal thing for me. So it's fine.
So you could do a whole another year.
I could do a whole another year. I don't mind.
No, I mean, it's to the point where he doesn't want to, like, go back to work.
I'm good, man. Collecting that unemployment, and I'm, like, you know, doing podcasts on the regular and working out routine. I have a workout routine now that, like, I can stick to. So it's all good.
Now, wait, I have a question.
Not for all you. Good. I don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're making the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
I had a bit of a personal question, but, like, you don't have to, if you don't feel comfortable, like, answering it, don't, please don't. But, like, you mentioned a fiance.
I was gonna ask that too.
Yeah, the last time I talked to you, she was your girlfriend. So if you don't mind sharing, how that come to fruition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been dating for like five years.
Yeah.
Actually. And, we'd just come back from our trip to Japan, cause she came with me. When I was there for Wrestle Kingdom, she joined me pretty much like a few days after, and we like had a great trip to Japan. And even by that point, like, I had already gotten the ring, but, like, you know, you get to the point where, man, I'm not sure if I should bring this ring with me all the way to, like, Japan, you know, to propose. Like, so much could have gone wrong. I could have lost the thing. They could have like checked it at the security thing, and, like, you know, would have I decided to, like, wait until we got here. She and I had actually just bought a house, so
congrats.
Thank you. So a number of, like, significant, like, 2020 is, like, crazy changes, year already thus far. But like, before we had moved in, I guess I just decided to do it a few days before her birthday, and surprised her at home before we had actually moved in. But, like, you know, I, like, did the whole petals and, like, you know, fake candles and things like that.
Ah, look at you. Lit
it
up
and just kind of surprised her. And she wasn't expecting it at all. And it turned out great.
Was it just you and her when you proposed, or did you have her family there? Or was it, like...
No, it's just us.
Just you guys? Okay, that's cool. Wow. Damn, you went all out. Congratulations.
That's awesome. Hopefully it's a one-time thing.
Let's hope. Yeah. So, and then you moved into your house already? How do you like it?
Yeah.
Is it, like, did you buy a fixer upper? Did you go, like, a turnkey type of thing? You guys are up and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, the place is pretty modest, you know, but like the market in Toronto is already crazy, so it's like it's definitely like the biggest, I would say, responsibility that either of us has been taken on. Yeah. And but thus far we're extremely happy. Yeah. Like we're both people that like we don't spend that much anyway. I would say we're pretty frugal, so everything's pretty much going to a mortgage at this point. So yeah, we're pretty happy.
Nice, congrats.
And are you guys are you guys planning to get married this year or next or?
It was initially going to be next summer, so not 2020, but like 2021.
Okay,
summer.
Hopefully things by then.
It's probably for the best anyway. Right now, it would have been very difficult to pull it off.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know any of this stuff about like how long it takes to like you know put one of these things together. But apparently, it's like venues you need to book at least like a year out.
Yeah, anyway. I got married last fall. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a.
Did it take that long?
It took a majority of the year. I would say from like mid spring to we got married in October 4th. So yeah, it you're planning all the way up until like the week of because you gotta like they you won't have your guest list solidified and all the details until like the week of. So
yeah, we got pretty lucky in that sense too, like because we had finalized our date again before all this stuff went down. And then, like, as you would expect, there have been a number of cancellations around this time for this year, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to get dates for next year.
Yeah.
And, like, next year's going to be, like, crazy, you know, if everything tries to get back to normal.
Yeah. I proposed to her, like, on her birthday. And then we got married, like, almost 2 years later. My son came in, like, the year that we were planning to do it. So we pushed that back. And then
Well, the night he proposed, I was freaking out more than he was. And then,
how did you do it?
It was like she was opening her gifts, so we had everybody there. I did it at a restaurant, like one of like a favorite restaurant of ours, at a table. Yeah. Like there was like 15 people there for just us, and then on top of the other people that were there, I waited till the end, and I told her she had one more gift to open, and then that was it. Yeah,
amazing,
nerve wracking. Then that's when all the nerves come in is when you I'm sure yeah, the feeling is like when you finally do it. It's like when you finally ask, it's just like, dude, you get like this wave of emotion. It's crazy.
And James, you're really nervous for him. Why were you nervous for him?
I don't know. I just thought I don't know. I thought that was a possibility of her saying not that she would.
Yeah.
But just that possibility. But in his wedding I was like crying like a baby, man. I was his best man. I was just crying the whole time.
Yeah.
Like a baby.
Aww.
Like, I didn't even make it through my speech. I think most of my speech was me crying.
That's awesome.
It was kind of sad.
Damn, so, it's a lot of changes for you this year, man.
Yeah, seriously, yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
You know, speaking of Japan, Josh, myself, and you, like we all share a common show that we like, which is Terrace House.
Yeah,
and I think Terrace House got canceled, right, because of the COVID. Of the pandemic.
Yeah. Suspended.
So I believe they're like, I don't know how much you guys have caught up with the current season, but like the the North American season is like delayed from the Japan release, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that the Japan release is probably, I believe they ended somewhere like end of January. So I'm sure they filmed a whole lot more, but they just haven't either edited it or they haven't filmed the segments with the panel, basically reacting to the shows. So we don't really get to see the moment where they're even told, hey, the season's being suspended. I'm sure they have all that footage. I guess we just don't know, you know, when we might pick back up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Could be the fall. Yeah. I could see them putting out in the fall, maybe.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah. And you've caught up on, you guys have caught up. I haven't caught up on this new season yet, on its entirety, but... What do you make of it? What do you think of it? Have you enjoyed it as much as the other season?
It's been like I would say the season of people that you could possibly hate the most. I mean, it's like it's always entertaining because it's Terrace House.
Yeah.
But this season has like so many, or at least like towards the end, they've got so many unlikable people.
Yeah.
I don't know how much have you seen all the Japanese ones, James?
I have not. I think I've seen most of them though.
Okay, you know this guy Nino?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. He's
I fucking hate me this too. Guy. He's terrible.
Yeah, he's one of, I completely agree with you.
he's just a guy who, like, you know, like, I mean, this show is very much a dating show. And so you see this dude out on dates and he's just like incredibly manipulative and incredibly pushy. And you're just like yelling through the screen for like the girl that he's trying to, like, yeah, you know, make out with to just like push him away and call the cops or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's that type of thing. Yeah.
You know, a great show to watch I've been watching is Vanderpump Rules, man.
What is it called?
Vanderpump Rules.
It's Vanderpump Rules. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys big reality show fans?
I pick and choose mine.
Yeah. I pick and choose. I'm not much of like the popular mainstream ones. No. I think Terrace House. I got into Formula One racing over this whole quarantine thing.
You did?
Yeah.
Are they still going on?
No, they suspended this season. I think they're pushing it back to like the summer. But they have a really good like Netflix documentary series on it right now. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, Tiger King is a great one too.
Yeah, Tiger King.
Tiger King. The Last Dance is phenomenal.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm pretty much on, like, I'm waiting for the final two to drop. Yeah. Honestly,
that Kobe one is tough, especially here in LA, because we live in LA where Kobe, you know, I mean, this is the house that Kobe built with Staples Center. So,
mm-hmm.
So watching those episodes were kind of tough on me. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everything's still like so fresh.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. Now, speaking of the whole pandemic and pro wrestling, because, you know, they're going hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on the WWE and them, you know, still going with, you know, still putting on shows, still putting on live events? Do you agree with that, with them and what they're doing, or you basically don't care about what they're doing?
No, I certainly care. Yeah. And I don't agree with the shows continuing. Especially several weeks ago when I think the concerns were even that much greater than they are now.
Yeah.
You know, it's really strange because, like, my feelings are constantly changing about it, where ultimately I am against the things happening. But as the weeks progress, I feel a bit more assured in some ways about maybe the precautions and the statistics, I suppose. I mean, the fact is that, like, they've done shows for this long. They had one positive case, and that was somebody that they claim was only caught it outside of their system. In some ways, it is assuring. At the same time, I just know, like, it really might just be a matter of time, you know, the more you tempt fate.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I'm against it.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I'm kind of strange in that I'm able to, like, separate, you know, perhaps everything that's been going on with, like, just the performances themselves.
Yeah.
Like, anytime we have to go back and rewatch, you know, like, old wrestling matches with, like, a Chris Benoit or something, for the first few, it was definitely weird, like, of John and I doing older reviews. But then, like, I kind of, at some point, I've gotten to the point where I'm able, and this might make me very different from most, where I can kind of separate the performances from kind of the politics that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of find myself, you know, feeling like that with a lot of the shows right now, where we can review them and I can objectively describe, you know, was this a good show? Was this a bad show? Was this a good match? Was this a bad match? Was this a good performance or was this not? But ultimately, you know, if you're asking me whether or not I think these shows should be going on, whether or not this risk should be taken, especially for a company that's, you know, going to be generating record profits, I would say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Wei, especially with Benoit, you know, like his work.
We reviewed Benoit's documentary on Vice, the Dark whole Side. Vice doc, mm-hmm. the dark Side of the Ring or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, I have no problem like watching a Benoit match just cuz like he was such a great worker. I know like the way things ended was disturbing in a lot of ways, but I mean, I can appreciate his work and what he did in the ring. And kind of like ignore it for however long the match is and kind of separate. I mean, I don't know, maybe a lot of people out there can't do that, but I mean, I can do it.
Yeah, I think, Benoit was a favorite of mine for, I think, the latter part of like the WWE, my WWE watching. I look at other sports, NFL, basketball, and they are able to put aside some of the antics of some of their athletes and let them play and nobody really bets an eye. As far as, you know, I know Benoit is a special case where he did the things that he did, but I too can separate my feelings towards it, towards him as a person and what he did, and him as a performer, and my love for him as a performer. I don't know. And
yeah,
WWE too. Like, I don't agree with them necessarily forcing the issue of putting on events, but you know, it is, I can put my feelings aside too and just watch.
It's rare for me to, like, you know, like, desire to, let's say, want to go like pop in a Benoit on DVD, or like, you know, willingly want to do it if I wasn't going to do it for a podcast. And I wonder if I would feel the same, honestly, with these WWE shows. I don't know if I would be willing to just, you know, on Monday night, hey, let's check out Raw and let's stick with it for 3 hours. I don't think I would have been doing that anyway, unless I was doing this podcast.
Right.
But, you know, as to when I do kind of, like, you know, sit down and actually, like, focus on what's going on, and I always find it to be an interesting exercise to try to, like, you know, think about my thoughts about what I'm watching when I'm watching professional wrestling.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to sports like WWE and the UFC, and it's not surprising that Vince McMahon and Dana White are the two guys out there right now that are leaders of organizations that are pushing the issue, and like kind of like it's in their nature, it's in their sports, individual sports nature to push the issue all the time. So it's just we know that them to be this way. And it's not, I guess on that side, it's not surprising to see them, that they're the ones out there kind of pushing to open things back up, or at least keep things somewhat normal.
Yeah. I think they're both personalities that in many ways they're very similar, and they are personalities that don't feel like they can be pushed around and be told what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can argue that that's part of the reason for their success.
Yeah.
You know, this is a situation where I really do get concerned that people's safety is going to be put in danger for that stubbornness.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of performers who are grateful to be, you know, performing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think of their, obviously, I think the WWE kind of learned from their first initial, like, performance or, like, put a show, and how they kept the lights on, how they kept the seats in the arena, like, it's kind of common sense to turn the lights off and to take the seats out. Like, I don't know what would you make of your first viewing of their first event? And since
it almost felt like those initial shows, they were trying to emphasize the emptiness and almost using, you know, the empty vibe as sort of a feature, like lighting everything the same way as it typically would have been for, you know, full audience performance. You had Triple H, you know, doing the introduction in a wide shot, telling us this is going to be a special show with an empty room. They're drawing a lot more attention to it, I think, in the hopes of, you know, presenting it less so as a weakness and something as a feature. And there might have been a novelty to those first couple episodes, but, I mean, obviously that quickly wore down quick. And I think AEW, when they started to do their show, pointing their camera at the stage rather than the audience, it was immediately noticeable how much better that experience was, and that it was a way better experience when we can forget about the emptiness of the place and instead, you know, be able to direct our attention just to the product in the ring, and to mimic, I guess, some semblance of, like, you know, there being some sort of atmosphere. So, and that's when they made the changes of not, you know, WWE themselves by pointing the camera to the set, not lighting the empty seats. I don't even know if there are seats anymore.
I think they took them out, right?
And, you know, another positive thing that the WWE has done is it really kind of forced them to be more creative, like in the WrestleMania matches with Taker and AJ Styles. But I mean, I enjoyed the Bray Wyatt John Cena one more. But yeah, I mean, both those matches, I mean, were great. They're really entertaining.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's kind of been like one of the things I've, much like how I would say, like, you know, the two of you have managed to, like, take a negative and turn it into a positive in your own personal lives.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of room to be able to grow creatively in for professional wrestling or for anything using this particular opportunity. One of those ways is seeing these, you know, cinematic matches. And some of them have worked. Some of them have not worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I love the fact that they're at least taking the risk. Because I think one thing that, you know, I can criticize about this company is that sometimes they stick to the format a little too much, especially when it comes to production.
Right.
Everything is like, you know, backstage interview with Charlie Caruso or like Renee or whoever with like a perfectly lit background. And it's like scripted lines here and there. There's still a whole lot of that. But now is the perfect time when, you know, you are missing so many tools anyway to like rethink everything from the beginning and to see what might work and what might not. So this thing coming up on Sunday with this Money in the Bank, I'm actually quite intrigued to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And you know what? And I've been recently doing a timeline from like, I think 97, and right now I'm on 2001, but watching Owens matches, man, it makes me kind of wish that he gets in that Hall of Fame already. But I know there's issues with Martha, his widow, you know, wanting him to be there. Like, do you see any kind of compromise with Martha and maybe him finally being in the Hall of Fame? Because I think that, you know, without the WWE Network, I think people would forget how great Owen, you know, was. And it's kind of sad to see him forgotten in that way because of Martha.
Perhaps. I mean, you know, at the same time, the man hasn't really been mentioned in WWE TV, like, for all these years, and yet we still talk about him, you know, plenty. So, I don't know. I feel like even if he... Honestly, this is a completely personal issue for Martha Hart and her family. Like, they have gone through a level of pain that none of us will understand.
Right, yeah.
So to, like... It's a really difficult decision for her. And I would say I'm sure there's plenty of public demand. I mean, like Bret Hart himself, you know, really has said the same thing. He doesn't want his brother's legacy to be forgotten about. I contend that it'll stay alive either way. But, you know, with enough fan support, I could see her maybe entertaining the idea. But ultimately, it really does come down to her decision. Mm-hmm.
And switching over to MMA real quick, are you going to catch the fights this weekend? Are you still keeping up with MMA that much?
Honestly, no, not at all. Like, my interest ever since I left the fight arc has been pretty minimal, to be quite honest with you. And especially with all this stuff going on, I keep updated with, you know, what John tells me, honestly, with the news that I follow, that he reports and the shows that he and Phil Chertok do on our sites. But beyond that, like, I honestly don't have that much interest, especially like this is a case where I feel like my personal feelings on whether or not these shows should occur, I'm fine to boycott because I don't really care either way.
Right. Right.
What do you think about Fight Island and them going through with that? When you, being on the outside, not so much following the sport that much anymore, but you're hearing that they're pushing, you know, Dana White coming out, pushing the issue of putting on events now in Florida, which Florida opened up, and then Fight Island, which he says is going to happen.
I think it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's like super villain shit, you know? No, it's wildly entertaining just to hear about. Like, the news updates are so unbelievable that they're just fun. But it's like, it's such a shit show. I guess in some ways, like, I want to see them kind of pull it off just to see, like, just to be able to say, like, this exists.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of super villains in sports today.
I saw an article where, I think it was MMA Fighting, where they were talking about that the fighters missed their opportunity to really push the issue of representation in this whole like pandemic, like shutdown, like, and that they didn't unite during this time to like, no, we're not going to fight because you could get sick or, you know, I don't know. What do you think they might have missed an opportunity there? Because they're under a different set of rules in like WWE.
Well, let me ask you, who would need to lead that charge? Which athletes or which characters within the community would have to be the first to step up?
Big names. Yeah, the big names.
Conor McGregor.
Tony Ferguson. Justin Gaethje.
Khabib. Yeah, those Khabib, guys.
You know?
And what incentive do you feel like those guys might have?
Get paid?
Well, they're getting paid.
Yeah, they're getting paid.
They are getting paid.
They are getting paid.
But I mean, like, what incentive would they have to
help other people? No, not much.
Yeah. None.
They would really have to just put themselves aside and, you know, to get asked of them all to do that. No. I'm sure it's in their
heads. It's a system. I mean, it's much like pro wrestling where, like, as an individual, essentially, like, we're talking an individual sport in many ways. Yeah. Like, even in pro wrestling, it's a system that's just not built for something like that to occur.
Yeah, they're pretty much independent contractors is what they are.
Mm-hmm. And they're competing with everybody. Yeah. They're competing with each other. So, I don't know. I don't really know. Like, the topic of unions has actually come up a lot, like, yeah. during this period. And I really don't get the sense that we're inching any closer to it being a reality. There's going to be a lot of talk, but unless, like, the people at the top, you know, are so universally selfless, or like they have like a united motivation to, you know, for their own needs to band together to speak up against the people that they're, you know, that are against their employers, it's hard for me to see anything occur.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's really tough. What do you guys have going on coming up for you know, post wrestling? Any new things that you're working on during this time? What's new? What's changed in the 2020 for you guys?
Man, we've just got a lot of shows, and I would say like our schedule on our lineups is just continues to grow with like any new idea that we possibly have. So those that are, you know, really bored right now certainly have no shortage of things to listen to. If you go to postwrestling.com, right now we have, I would say, three active podcasts that are going on, and that'll be us, Post Wrestling, which is primarily the iTunes feed that John and I run. And that you can get our Raw review, you can get our AEW Dynamite review, as well as our Cafe Hangout, as well as a number of MMA reviews that John Pollock and Phil Chair talk to. They're doing a UFC 249 preview this week, as well as a UFC 249 post show later on this Saturday, Sunday night. We also have a number of shows from WH Park covering Japanese professional wrestling there. Our friend Nate Milton does a Rocky Maivia picture show, which is a career Hollywood film retrospective on the career of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So you can find all that at Post Wrestling. But we've also got Up Next, which is our friends Braden and Davey. They are amazing. They host a weekly NXT review show, but they're really a lot more than that. They also do a lot of Star Wars reviews. This week they got a Lost review that's going on. They've recently started a Patreon that I would say they really put more effort into, perhaps, than like their actual feed themselves. Like they pretty much, like, I feel like they may do as many shows as us now, and a lot of people might not even be aware of it. But like on their feed, they've got like Dynamite reviews. They've got you know, like retrospective reviews, both for an NXT and also this thing called Best Match Ever. Those guys have been doing such a great job, so I wanted to shout those guys out. And we've also got the British Wrestling Experience, which is a bi-weekly show about British wrestling, hosted by our friends Ben O. Martin and Jamesy. And those guys have just been doing tremendous, tremendous work over the past, you know, like several years that they've been doing shows. So
that's freaking awesome.
Just wanted to shout everybody out.
And then one last thing before we get going, but is there any plans of making like any pandemic merchandise for your post wrestling store?
Pandemic merchandise? What do you mean?
Like face mask or anything related to the pandemic?
It's so funny because like I with all our merch, I actually like make them through this online portal that like designs, or like they supply the raw material, then I can actually do all the designs online myself. And one of the new items that they just have had in stock was face masks. Like it's like they're selling face masks and they're also selling like scarves. It's a little much for me. Like I feel number one, I don't want to take responsibility for people's health with an item of merchandise that I wear. And secondly, it's just it's not really within our style. Like we kind of do our t-shirts and we'll do our hats. And that is kind of like all we're really interested in at the moment. But maybe it'll be a Patreon perk, for instance.
Yeah, dude, I would love to wear a post wrestling face mask or anything of post wrestling. Could you guys have some really cool merchandise, man? So props to you and John for that. And I know if you join your Patreon, you can it automatically gives you a chance to win some merch, right?
Yes, that's right. Actually, this is the draws have been something that I've kind of like withhold for a little bit, just because we haven't really been sending as much physical merchandise with everything that's been going on. But it's something I want to pick back up, certainly. And so if you join the Patreon, there are a number of tiers. Some of them contain physical mail. At the moment, we're not doing as much physical mail because we're just not sending physical mail as much. But we are sending digital greetings to a lot of people, and we're trying to keep that a surprise. So it's you kind of have to think of like different ideas, you know, with right. everything.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, well, I know it's like really late over there in Toronto, so we're gonna let you go. But I don't know, like it's been really cool not only to call your friend, but for you to you know to come on the show yeah. and to you know
give us your time. You again. Good to talk
yeah,
to you again.
Dude, like.
Likewise. Like, yeah, the last time I saw you guys like was before we even started the new site. It was like yeah. that was
yeah
the period right before I was like during the last period I was at the Fight Network. So everything's yeah. kind of changed for me at least professionally yeah, since then.
A lot
and
a
for
lot
you
has
personally,
changed.
Josh.
Yeah, yeah. A lot has changed. Yeah. But all for the better. So
yeah, man.
But
so yeah. Absolutely. So best of luck with getting married and best of luck with you and John and post wrestling. I mean, like you guys are killing it as always. Yeah. And you and John are you know like role models from Josh and I to kind of like maybe catch up to you guys one day. But it'll be a while before we get to that point. But we appreciate yeah. everything you do for us, man.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have been grinding for like a long, long time, and just that consistency is incredibly respectable. So
well, thank you. All
right, man. Yeah, man.
All right, Wade. Well, you take care. Much love and respect, man.
Stay safe, and we'll hopefully
thank you guys so much.
We'll hang out soon. You know,
got to go to Roscoe's.
Yeah, we got to go back to
yeah,
Roscoe's. Yeah,
exactly. Thanks, Wade. Appreciate it, brother.
All right,
stay safe. All right,
you too, man. Stay well. All the best. Bye.
And that was Wade Ting. Thank you for being on the show. It's great to catch up with them.
Yeah, and again, go to postwrestling.com. Yeah. If you want to join his their Patreon, postwrestling.com/Patreon. And then have great merch at postwrestling.com.
Yeah.
/store.
All right. And that's our show. Thank you guys for watching. We'll be back next week, hopefully with the guests. I think we'll have someone special for you guys.
Yeah.
And we'll review all the fights from this past weekend and then look ahead to the 13th card. So until then, catch you guys next week.
Be safe.